Psalm 119. A couple weeks back, we had looked at the fact that righteousness is something that is not earned. It's given by God. That there is none of us that can achieve any kind of righteousness. And it's not based on a rules of standards that we live by. You don't eat Big Macs or not go to the movies, and that makes you more spiritual than someone else. We receive our righteousness directly from God himself. Okay, when you and I ask Jesus Christ to be our Savior, ask him to forgive us of our sins and to come into our lives, and he does that, and he sees us as righteous, okay, because God imputes to us his righteousness. We are righteous because of that. We talked the next sermon about the fact that even though we can't earn any sort of righteousness, that God does expect us to put an effort into our lives for him to be able to use us. That to be ready, suitable for his use, it takes an effort. And we looked at David and how he had said here in Psalm 119 that how hard he would try and how the effort he put behind it. Well, today we're going to look at something so encouraging. I'm just trying to get you pumped up. I want to look at trials and tribulations. Trials and tribulations. That's not the title, but I want us to take a peek at this real quick. One thing we're going to look at and understand, if you've spent any time during this study reading through Psalm 119, just in Psalm 119, over 75 times David references afflictions, troubles, temptations, tribulations. They're there. And if you've spent any time living at all, conscious, you know that there are bumps in the road, some bigger than others. And just because you've become a Christian and asked God to be your Savior and even surrendered your life to him does not mean that from this point on it's tiptoe through the tulips. There's going to be struggles. But I want you to see where David comes across and what his conclusions are today and how he gets a little bit of support, and that's what we're going to look at today. So let's begin reading Psalm 119, 153. I want to read these eight verses, we'll pray, and then we'll take a short look at God's word here this morning. Consider mine affliction, and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. Plead my cause, and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. Great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgments. Many are my persecutors and mine enemies, yet do I not decline from thy testimonies. I beheld the transgressors and was grieved, because they kept not thy word. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for the standard that it is. Father, for the only thing we know to be truth in this world. Not just true, but truth. And so, Father, I pray you give us, a reminder of this immovable rock, this foundation that we stand on. And Father, no matter what comes our way, Lord, we have a concrete foundation. Lord, also, the fact that you are on our team, Father, you are a part of our lives. If we've asked you to be our Savior, we've surrendered our lives to you, and Lord, you become an intricate part of our daily walk. And Father, how important that is. So Father, we're going to look at a couple things here today. One of which is the fact that as long as we're in this world that's tainted by sin, there are going to be some struggles. But Father, I thank you that that's not the end of the sentence. That's just the beginning. So give us some clarity, Lord, as we look to your word. Help me as I try to convey what you'd have laid on my heart. But Lord, we understand that your word is the truth. Your Holy Spirit is the teacher. So minister to our hearts through your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. So, now we looked on Wednesday night about this, an amazing picture. We're studying the book of Esther. And in Esther, there are three enemies you find. It's amazing how when we study God's Word, you guys who are learning Bible study, we will be going Bible study helps class again and talking about the rules and the tools and the keys of studying God's Word, that we know that there are three applications to Scripture, correct? Okay, historical, doctrinal, and personal. Okay, and we're looking at Esther and talking about the fact that there were three enemies historically in there. There were two gentlemen who tried to kill the king, and then there's Haman. Big story, go read it. Great story, not a long book. You can do it in one sitting. We talked about that the Bible says in those days that Esther is a picture of the tribulation period. Amazing picture where the Gentile queen is removed and it's now focused back on the Jewish queen and how God is an amazing picture like that. But there are three enemies back then. I mean, back then. In the future. Back to the future, that there's the Satan, the beast, and the false prophet. But we also talked about that for you and I personally, we have three enemies. And that's something we need to review again this morning. There are three things we need to struggle with as Christians. One is the devil himself and his forces. Number two is the world, and that is where the devil is around us and affecting our lives. And then probably the most difficult one to deal with always is the flesh. And that is the devil within us. And I don't mean the devil himself, but you know what I mean. We talked about this Wednesday night. If you were at war or in a conflict, one of the things you need to be most careful at is that someone has infiltrated from the outside and is now within. And we have a problem with that. As much as we would enjoy living a wonderful, blessed life with no problems anymore, we still have a sinful flesh. And he is still there working from within us. I could go isolate myself on a desert island, have no contact with anybody, and sin is still there because in Romans chapter 7, remember what the Apostle Paul says? Sin is ever present with me. Those things I wish I could do, I don't wind up doing them. Those things I hate doing, I wind up doing them all the time. But not I, it's that sin that is within me. So as much as you and I would love to serve the Lord without mistakes, without problems, without tribulations, guess what? They're going to be there. All right, everybody give me a smile and say thank you, Pastor, so much for telling me that. We're just so excited about you telling us that. There's some good news, though. It doesn't get any better than the news we're going to talk about today. So if you're downtrodden, if you're carrying a backpack of a heavy load, or there's stuff around you, let me remind you of some cool things that we learned from this passage today. There will be struggles. I listed quite a few of them. I'm not going to read them this morning. I don't think we need to go ahead. I went down to Psalm 119 and looked up the seven times that afflictions made, the three times that enemies are mentioned, the four times that persecution is mentioned, troubles, the proud, the princes of this world, all those references of people and problems that are going to come our way. I think we got enough. We know that, don't we? That we're going to have some struggles. How many of you got a struggle going on right now? All right. How many think there's a struggle coming around the corner? I think everybody can raise their hand, right? Because that's kind of the way things are in this life. I want you to look at something real neat here that David asks for. And boy, does it get me excited. There are days I lay in bed at night after the day goes by and reevaluate how the day went and reevaluate how situations are going. And you ever just lay there and say, Lord, I don't know what else to do. Or, Lord, what's wrong with me? Or, Lord, I'm sorry, that was a stupid way to handle that situation. Listen to what he says. Consider mine afflictions and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. Here's the phrase I love. Plead my cause. Plead my cause. Isn't it amazing to understand that God himself pleads our cause? We're going to look at this in a minute. go to Revelation chapter 12. I want to set this stage for a second. Revelation chapter 12. Now, if you're not conscious of this, I want you to be aware that there is a spiritual courtroom, if you'd say, going on a daily basis involving you and me. There is a being that is continuously standing against us and bringing accusations before God himself in regards to you and I. Look, if you would, to, again, Revelation chapter 12. You there with me? I want you to see it for yourself. Verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. You understand the devil himself is before God accusing us day and night? Imagine a courtroom, if you would, for a minute, and there's a judge, and there's a prosecutor continually bringing up our faults, our struggles, our mistakes, our hardships, and accusing us. Matter of fact, you want a great picture of this, and we can read it, but we won't. I want to keep it as short as we can today. Go to Job chapter 1. You don't have to right now, but you know the story, don't you? And it said it came to that point in time in heaven when the sons of God came and presented themselves before God himself. And it said, and Satan came also. And Satan basically says to God, listen, I've been wandering all around the earth looking for different people. And God, and this is the thing sometimes we don't think about in this story of Job, God says to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? And he gives Job a big thumbs up. And Satan says, oh yeah? The only reason that Job continues to serve you the way he does is because you keep a wall of protection about him. He says, if you took away that, you watch, see what happens. And we're not going to study the whole book of Job here. Just we know that the attack started coming. Right? And that's what the book of Job, if you had one word to sum up what Job is what? Patience or tribulation? But what I want you to see is the fact that Satan was standing before God accusing people on this earth. And God himself says, well, yeah, I guess you brought up quite a few folks, but have you considered my servant Job? Now, here's something to think about. What if, and what a joy it would be, if God himself had said, have you considered my servant, insert your name, Craig. Now, well, first of all, I was like, oh, hey, God might actually say that. But understand what Satan's trying to do. We just read in Revelation that he is the accuser of the brethren. He is accusing us night and day. And here the devil's out to get Job. Even though God says, you know what, I got a couple fellows on this earth doing a good job. And Satan says, oh, really? Let's talk about this Job fella for a minute. First John chapter 2. We have an accuser who is before God night and day, it says. You read that with me, right? Pastor, you're making this up. I don't want you to think that. I want you to see it in God's word. The accuser of the brethren, night and day, up there accusing. 1 John, this is where it gets good. 1 John chapter 2, right in verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. What's an advocate? Right. Somebody goes before you like your attorney, your lawyer. Now, as much as we make jokes about lawyers, I'll tell you what, if you're on your way to court for something serious, you want a lawyer, don't you? We love teasing about them. Well, did you catch this? Are you building this scenario with me in your head? We have a life that we are struggling with in sin. We have enemies, the devil, the world, the flesh. And we have an enemy that is before God accusing us every day, night and day. But we have an advocate. We have a lawyer. We have someone to go between. And that is Jesus Christ himself. And so while this case is being argued before God, Jesus steps in. And we're back to Proverbs chapter 119, where David says, plead my cause. Now you know what one of our problems is? You ever watch one of these television shows, I don't know what, Law and Order, the one my wife and I got into just recently is Bull. Okay. I don't know if you've seen it. It's a new show out there called Bull. He's a trial specialist. All this, you know, fancy computer stuff. But you know how scary it is and how silly it is when you hear somebody stand up on one of these shows and say, who's your counsel? And the person says, I will be representing myself. And all of us go, don't do that. As silly as that is for us, and we realize that in the courtroom we have here, you know what our problem as Christians are? We have an advocate who will plead our cause, but we wind up trying to represent ourselves. And as much as we have someone, Jesus Christ, the righteous, God himself, who will handle it, don't worry about this, Lord, I got it. Don't even bother. This one, I got this one. You know, and that might work for a traffic ticket. But we're talking about serious business. We have the God of this universe, Jesus Christ, the Son, the righteous, who is standing in as our attorney to argue and plead our cause for us. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you've gone through or might be going through tomorrow. But understand, it ain't worth trying to take it and handle it yourself. You have someone who's on your team. Trust that he knows what he's doing. Because we prayed this in our prayer time this morning. You know, I need to check the schedule sometimes because God goes on vacation. Right? And I want to make sure that during his vacation, I don't do anything serious that it might catch him by surprise. Right? No! God never goes on vacation. It's break time. He ran down to the Dunkin' Donut. Today is, maybe if I say it enough, I'll get a Dunkin' Donut this morning. God does never take a break, does he? Now listen, does Satan ever get a chance to slip one by that God didn't know was coming? No, did I hear a no? No. So everything that comes our way that reaches us is something that God has given his permission to occur. Because he never takes a break. He's never asleep. Doesn't go on vacation. So if it's come our way and we're dealing with it right now, he's got a plan to handle it. Right? Whose plan? My plan? Your plan? God's plan. He's got a plan. He'll deal with it. Let him plead your cause. Now, here's the sad part. Back to one of those shows. What happens if you're a lawyer and you're defending somebody that you know is guilty? And not only do you know that they're guilty, they keep doing it. Now, I can't talk for you. I can't. But I can talk for me. Yeah, as a lawyer, if that were me, and I'm only guessing, but you know, they love putting those shows together to just play with your emotions, and they like to get, and you're like, well, I wouldn't even represent that guy. He's such a jerk. And they're trying to get him off. They're trying to do what's good by him, but he keeps just doing it again and again and again. I quit. You? You know, it's a sad story. And God himself, as much as he looks at you and me and realizes we just keep doing it over and over and over and over. We just read, John says, you know, the elder John says, my little children, I'm writing these things that you sin not. I wish you'd be able to just stop. Right, guys? We read it last week. Apostle Paul, I just reference it. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I know that in this flesh dwelleth no good thing, zero, that is in my flesh. I cannot please God. And we keep sinning, we keep violating, we keep breaking the law. Yet we still have an advocate who will not quit. Because in a legal decree, he has said, O judge, I have imputed my righteousness onto their account. As guilty as they are, you count me as the person who's standing in for them. I am the go-between. I am your advocate. So what do you do as a defendant if you're going to want your lawyer to handle your business for you? There's a thing we do. We call signing over what? Power of attorney. Okay? That means he calls the shots. Right? Guys, on Wednesday night, we saw that the king handed Haman his ring and said, I'm giving you all authority, Haman, to deal with this. He gave the bad guy all the control. Well, you know what you and I need to do in our lives if we want to get ourselves out of these hassles is stop trying to handle things ourselves and stop getting in the same messes over and over again. We need to hand over to God power of attorney. Hey, you want to put it into simpler terms? There's a song that was out a long time ago, you know, Jesus take the wheel or put God on the throne. I don't care what you call it. Look at what David says here. Twice, and this is if you're not catching this, poetry in the Bible is not, especially in Hebrew writing, doesn't go by rhyme and rhythm. But you'll see, you know, we do, you know, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep, you know, poetry, and this is very poetic for Hebrew language. Consider mine affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. Plead my cause and deliver me. It's very poetic the way he's writing this out. But you see what his theme is? Deliver me. You ever cry to the sky? I don't mean what's been going on in the politics, screaming at the sky. I mean, just looking up to heaven and going, Lord, please, get me out of this mess. David says, deliver me. That's his focus. Deliver me. I'm in trouble. He says, consider mine affliction and plead my cause. Now look what he says. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians or just listen as I read this. Now, just to rehearse, are we going to have problems? Yes, right? Okay, we've made that clear. I just want to rehearse that just because of what we're about to read. He says, deliver me. Now, it's an interesting thing. He doesn't say, get rid of the problem, does he? Now, it's interesting because I know in my life, I'll just be honest, there have been times going, Lord, could you just take this out and get just be done with it? I'd like it to disappear. Ever? That's not what David asks for. He doesn't say, Lord, get rid of it, make it disappear, make it go away, remove this whole situation. He doesn't ask for that. He says, deliver me from the problem. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, we know this verse. There is no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make you make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. What a great theme verse. Guys, if you in your Christian life haven't put that one somewhere, stamped it on the back of your brain, do it. Because we will have struggles. But notice it says, first off, and this is tough. You ever run into somebody who's going through a trouble? And there's some of us who are very dramatic about problems. And I've been there, I know. You don't understand. Nobody has ever gone through this before like I'm going through it. Anybody? You ever heard that before? You ever said that before? Did you notice what this says? God is amazing in his word and how he puts things together. He says, there is no temptation taking you, but such is common to man. And as much as you and I would love to grab a hold of something and say, hey, this is the worst thing that's ever happened, nobody ever. You know what? Somebody's been through it before, and somebody will be through it again. Right? It is not the end of the world. But notice, God will never let you and I be pushed to the point where it's just too much. You believe that? Now, I got like five of you. Now, I know the thought, and I want you to stay with me. Because I've been pushed to that point where I just want to go, I quit! Right? You been there? Well, let me remind you of something. If you and I quit, that's our choice. This verse reminds us very clearly that God will not ever allow us to deal with something that we will not be able to bear it. The problem is sometimes we're just ready to throw in the towel. Yes? Now, rewind with me. God ever on vacation? No, not on a break.
No, never break.
Okay. And so everything that happens to us had to get God's permission, even with Satan and Job. Right. Job had to ask God, hey, I want to go after Job, but you got to take down this hedge of protection that you put about him. And God said, okay. God gave permission. So all these things that are happening, God knows what's going on. God's never going to give us anything that we can't handle. God says, trust me, I'm your advocate. I got this covered. That doesn't mean it makes it any easier, but God says, deliver. I will deliver you from that. You can bear it. Now, what kind of glory will it give to God if all of a sudden the situation that's causing us all this grief just miraculously disappears and vanishes into myth? Well, it depends. If all of a sudden I've got, you know, these bills and they're piling up and I don't know what to do about it and somebody swoops in and gives me $1 million. Now you could say, well, God had that person swoop in. But how many other people are still struggling with bills mounting up over their heads? Everybody. And during that pressure, during that tough time, you still glorify God. You still give him the praise. You still show that he is faithful. You still show, you know, there's a lot of people that have had a cancer that's been healed. Just gone. You know, that's great. But what happens to that person that's still struggling through cancer? Hey, oh, this cancer is tough. And this person says, God can heal you. That's true. God can heal you. But you know what? God can also help you through. What if God doesn't heal you? Does that mean you quit? Well, they got healed. God miraculously worked in their lives. What about me? I have to deal with this the whole time. And God wants you to. Didn't we just read that verse that said that you will be able to bear it? Right? Not that you will be able to be rejoicing when God removes the problem. Well, this is what David says. David doesn't say, God, I got these problems. Will you get rid of the problems? He just says, I got these problems, Lord. Can you deliver me through them? I want to get to the other side. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I love that phrase. It doesn't just say, though I walk into the valley. It says, I want to walk through. Which means I'm expecting to come out on the other side. So, I want to be honest with you guys. I'm not trying to paint this picture as some miraculous rosy-colored thing here. What happens if the cancer kills you? Did God fail? You graduated. Guys, going to heaven is never a bad thing. It is exactly what every one of us should be longing for. We fight tooth and nail, scratch and snip, everything we can to try to stay here on this earth. If you wind up going to heaven because you had a disease, God healed you completely. Right? Oh, they lost the cancer. So sad. No, they didn't. The flesh finally gave up and they're at home with God. They got the ultimate healing. They're in a place with no pain, no sorrow. Sometimes we look at this thing so backwards. Because if you're not careful, what about all those martyrs that we read about down through the years who got killed for their faith? Did God fail them? Were they not able to bear their temptation? Did God not deliver them from the problems that they had? He absolutely did. He didn't go on vacation. He had a plan. And exactly what was supposed to happen, happened. God didn't fail. You with me? We have an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. And whatever he, as our power of attorney, whatever deal he strikes with the judge, is what we need to agree to because we've signed control over to him, right? I got one of you said right. God's in control, right?
Yes.
He's behind the wheel. So if we happen to make a left-hand turn over here, and I wasn't going to make that left-hand turn, that's okay because I'm not driving. If we're going to make a pit stop, one of my children was funny. We learned not to tell them where we were going in the order. If you said, we're going to Shaw's, and then we're going to Price Chopper, and then we're going to the doctor, Lord forbid if you didn't go in that order. You told us next we were going to Shaw's and then Price Chopper. If you screwed the order up, oh, Lord forbid, the kid was flipping out. We just said we're going to stores, and we'd list the stores, but not in order. Because all of a sudden, we're not going the right way, because this is not how you get to Price Chopper. Well, how many of us do the exact same thing with God? We've got an idea of exactly how things could lay out, and he's behind the wheel, and he takes a little detour that we didn't know was coming, and we get all flipped out about it. But you said the next thing was this. And God said, just relax. Got this covered. We need to make a pit stop at CVS on the way. Don't have a canary. God's got it under control. Do you believe him? Do you trust him? Jesus Christ, the righteous, is our advocate. He has given us the power of attorney. We have given him the power of attorney. He's making the choices. And so, the plea is given. right? The power of eternity, and now the plea is offered. Now I want you to see where David. Now, David, pretty cool. You like David? David's got an awesome life. I mean, the city used to sing about Saul would king his kill his thousands, and David would kill his 10,000s, and I mean, David had a resume that was pretty awesome. There are a lot of things that David could have brought before God to say, "Hey, this is one of the reasons why you should help me in my court case." How many times do we see this guy? Oh, well, they help out with the poor, and they give to the Red Cross, and all these things about how you boost somebody's, you know, how they look. Well, yes, Your Honor, I know that this was a struggle here, but look at all the good things they do. I want you to notice the good things that David lists here. Did you catch them when we first read it? Look down at 155. Oops, I got to get back in Psalm 119. That would help. Look at David's resume, what he pleads for himself. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. Great are thy tender mercies, O Lord, quicken me according to thy judgments. Many are my persecutors and mine enemies, yet I do not decline from thy testimonies. I behold the transgressors and was grieved because they kept not thy word. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me according to thy loving kindness. Did you catch that? Three times in this passage, David says, quicken me. My life hangs in the balance. Quicken me. Make alive. You know, another, my actual soul, my salvation, my existence depends on this. Quicken me. But notice what David says. Number one, salvation is by God's word. Notice it. He says, the wicked, salvation is far from the wicked, for they have not seek thy statutes. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We understand that we don't got salvation by any other way than believing his word, period. God said it, and then we believe what he says. Now, I want you to put a contrast here just for a second, a little commercial. David's saying, plead my cause. You're my advocate. I trust in you. You know, listen, Lord, it's you. It's all you. You've got to help me. On the other hand, he said, the wicked, God is far from them. Man, I don't know about you, but I like having God close. I don't know how people in this world can live the way they live, not believing that there's a purpose and there's a God in this universe, to think it's all just one happy accident or millions of little happy accidents and there's no rhyme or reason to anything. No wonder people are going out of their minds. God's word says salvation is far from the wicked. But you know what? Our advocate is close. He's near. We can go back a couple of passages just in this Psalm 119. He says it several times, draw nigh unto me. You are close to those who love your word. Notice what else it says. God is merciful, but I want you to understand where his mercy comes from. Great are thy tender mercies according to what? The judgments, right? You ever forgive your children of something they've done? Something happens in the house, somebody, they do something, and what is it all based on? What happens in the courtroom if the judge happens to show you mercy? It's got to be based on the written law, right? That's what we're talking about. God is not merciful just randomly, willy-nilly. It's all according to the word. Salvation's through the word. His mercy is based upon the word. David said he has sorrow because of the disobedience to the word. Back to the word. Look what it says. Many of my persecutors and my enemies, Yeah, that's the one I wanted. Yet do I not decline from thy testimonies. Behold, the transgressors, I beheld the transgressors and was grieved. Why? Because they kept not thy word. Everything that David is saying, listen, deliver me, plead my cause, I need help. You got to consider all these things that are happening to me. Why? Because of your word. Every single thing. Last one, he says, his love for God's word was evident. Did you see it? Verse 159. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me according to thy loving kindness. Now you get this? Imagine the courtroom. And God, as the judge, and Jesus is stepping up, and I'm on the witness, I'm on the stand, I'm the one who is the guilty party, and I'm the defendant, and I have said to the Lord, help me. You got to plead my cause. And there's only one thing I can cite. David doesn't say, listen, I've defeated hundreds of enemies for your sake, God. I set aside tons and tons of riches for your you know, kingdom. I played your word. You chose. I'm a man after your own heart, you said. He doesn't say any of those things for his defense. His only defense is, God, your word. That's all I can say. I love it. I've not departed from it. It breaks my heart when people don't keep it. Lord, everything is focused on the word of God. Because folks, there is only one truth in this universe. It's this book. You can go to different things. Man, you could just read history books and science books and everything from one decade to another and they've changed. There is only one constant, absolute truth that we know, and that is God's word. It is infallible. And if you and I are going to base our hope, our cause, our future, our life, quicken me, if we're going to base it on anything, we've got to base it on this book. It's got to hinge and be everything. Well, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen, but I trust your word. Lord, you know what? This world is a mess. And it breaks my heart because nobody keeps your word. And Lord, I don't know what's going to happen to me, but one thing is for sure, I love your word. Now, I'll tell you what, I've been in troubles before. That is not my first response. But it ought to be. Lord, I've been serving you. I go to church every week since I was a little kid. And Lord, how can this be happening to me? Lord, you know, I'm trying to preach and I'm telling people about God's word and I'm trying to live a clean life and all these things you're doing to me. What are you doing? Well, I ought to be saying, Lord, I believe your word. I love your word. I trust your word. And whatever's happening, it's not going to shake me because I have confidence in your word. Now, to end it all up, look at this conclusion that he comes to. The last verse of what we're reading. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth how long? Forever. So this word here, he's not talking about from the beginning of his life or the beginning of its writing. From the beginning, meaning God himself, the word, from eternity past to eternity future. This is the one standard. Hang your life on this. Put a stake in it. Put your foundation on this book. It is the one thing. You see, David? Plead my cause, Lord. Deliver me. This is not good. I've got enemies. I've got persecutors. I've got afflictions. I've got all these struggles. But you know what, Lord? I realize this book is the only thing that I can hold faithful and true. All the rest of it is hogwash. Doesn't matter if I conquered a city. Doesn't matter how much good works I've done. It matters what this book says. Do you have troubles this morning? You got hardships this morning? Trust God. His word is truth. Don't know how you're going to handle it? Trust God. Have you turned over the power of attorney to him? Or are you doing what this guy does sometimes, trying to handle it himself? I don't know why things come my way the way they do, but I've had to learn to say, Lord, you've got something in the works. I'm going to trust you. You've got the power of eternity. That too, the power of eternity. Isn't it great to know we have someone who will plead our cause for us? And there's other verses we could go to, guys, where it talks about the Holy Spirit making groanings for us that we can't even utter, that we could be so brokenhearted we don't have the words to say, and the Holy Spirit goes before God and says, Father, you may want to pay attention to this one. He's really hurting today. I love the fact that God's on my team. Man, you look at all these things and you hear about O.J. Simpson, and he's about to go to court for his crimes. And what did they call his lawyer team? He called them the Dream Team, right? He got all the best lawyers and that he knows of, to, hired them all to have this. Listen, he can keep it. I've got Jesus Christ the righteous as my advocate, and so do you. So I don't know what you're struggling with. Trust God. And do your part. Well, I mean, God doesn't want any couch potatoes. But God did not leave us here to handle these things by ourselves. He is there to plead our cause and take the case up for us. Amen? So as much as there may be somebody night and day before God accusing us, trying to find fault, trying to make us guilty, Jesus Christ is on our team. Amen? All right. We are going to share communion this week. Usually we do it the first Sunday of the month, but because we had canceled church last week, we're going to do it today. So if I can have Dan and Jake, and how about Harley and...